And my spiritual master, open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my obeisances unto him. Swayam. Swayam rupa kadamayam dadati spa parantika. Bande. Om agyanta miranda shi avinam yunam suvakaya chakshambayam. Sri Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya manobhistam stapitam jina bhutale svayam rupa karamayam dharati sva parantikam. So this is verse, this is invocation to Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. First offering respects to Guru, Om Agyana Timirandasyam. Then to Rupa Goswami, who's following Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago, writing so many, you know, books. He was the Prime Minister of Bengal. His brother was the Home Minister. They're friends with the tax collectors, like that. And of course, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a Sabha Pandit of Maharaj Prataparudra, who at that time was King of Orissa, and on down into Madras, stopped the Muslims. You know, he couldn't go any farther. You know, he was so powerful king. And his Sabha Pandit, dean of Sanskrit faculty, head of his university, was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you know, great follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like that. It's a very great, you know, tradition, you know, of understanding who is Krishna, like that. And everybody is basing everything on Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning, our ISKCON devotees, Western devotees, were traveling in different ways, preaching in India. And one talked to Prabhupada, and he said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes Indians don't accept what we're saying." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, you must preach on the basis of Bhagavad Gita." And he said, "But what if an Indian doesn't accept Bhagavad Gita?" You know? And Prabhupada says, every Indian accepts Bhagavad Gita. Even Muslims respect it as a very, you know, knowledgeable book. Like we respect the Quran. He said, "Well, what if one doesn't accept it?" And Prabhupada said, "Then he goes to hell." So, different levels. Chapter 7, this is called Knowledge of the Absolute. Yeah, it's a nice chapter. Piece of peach. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Maya sakta, mana partha, yogam yunjam, marashrayaha, ashankshayam, samagram mang, yata nyasyasi, tachanu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Now here, O son of Kunti, by practicing yoga, yoga yunjam, in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt." So what is Krishna talking about? Yeah. He says, mom, mud, mom. Like that. So pretty obvious, you know. Well, he is not talking about himself. He is talking about the self within himself. But he says me again and again and again. You know, Mayi, Mom, Ma. Yeah. So in chapter 6, you know, okay, let's go back to the beginning. Okay. Arjuna has a problem. This is chapter 1. He's thinking, wow, this is going to be a good day, right? After all these years, you know. For example, every year on the movies, different movies come out every year, right? So there's always a few good revenge movies, like for housewives who try to get revenge for all their sufferings, or teachers who get revenge for these students who are harassing them, you know. But always very, you know, satisfaction, get you revenge against these people. Ah, yeah. So Arjuna's story is the biggest revenge movie. You know, he tried to cook his brother, you know. You know, his whole family in the house of shellac, tried to poison Bhima. Yeah, everything. Very, you know, horrible situation like that. And of course, the biggest insult was to Draupadi. Very chaste, you know, generous, wonderful Kshatrini. And still a very young girl like that. And he tried to, just nude her in public. And Prabhupada says for a respectable girl like that, the only thing she could do afterwards is commit suicide to save her honor and respect like that, you know. So they weren't successful. You know. But still, you know, Bhima made so many vows, Arjuna made so many vows that, you know, get revenge for this now. Even though you're our cousins, it's about time that, you know, we did something. So the battle's about to start, and Arjuna's ready, you know, looking at his watch, and Bhima's even more enthusiastic, hitting the ground with his club. The whole earth is shaking, looking across at Dushasana, or Duryodhana, like that. You know, Dushasana's, you know, rip Dushasana's heart out and smash Duryodhana's thigh. So he's just like, my God. Yeah, we're waiting. But then Arjuna, Krishna takes him right in front of Drona and Bhishma. Then Arjuna comes to his senses and he realizes, even though, according to Dharma Shastras, I deserve, you know, to get my revenge, right? This is just, according to all the Dharma Shastras. My brother is Yamaraj, so if he decides it that way, we're not going to have any problem with, you know, with Yamaraj saying it's not. But this is the lower part of the Vedas. This is Karma Kanda, right? Lower part of the Vedas. The Bhagavad Gita, the Bible, the Quran, they're all giving these different levels of activity, you know. For example, in one of the Puranas or something, it says you must have sexual relations with your wife every month. I don't want to. No, you must, you know. Right? But this is for people in Tamagun, you know, very low level of consciousness. Because they don't, you know, have this kind of satisfaction in their family life, they'll go outside and cause all kinds of problems for everybody else. You know? So this is not for Brahmins. This is not for, you know, even civilized human beings. This is for bestial people like that, you know, tamagun. So the Quran, the Vedas, the Bhagavad Gita, Socrates, they give different levels of activity, philosophy, religion, for different levels of people. You know? So, you know, if you want to have honor amongst thieves, right? Okay, look, you rob on this side of Boise, I'll rob on this side of Boise. Okay, we'll do that. You know, honor amongst thieves. Okay, we're all robbers. Let's just admit it. Yeah, you know, but let's just kind of like be, you know, civilized robbers. You know? Okay, so a lot of the Dharma Shastras are on that basis, like that. It's how to divide the wealth up, you know, amongst thieves and stuff. You know? And so Arjuna is trying to follow that kind of activity, you know, but then he realizes this is not going to make me happy, you know. Ultimately, karma means that if I'm going to enjoy, somebody else has to suffer. That's all there is relative pleasure, right? You know, in mathematics, the material world is a zero-sum game. This is Norman Stern von Neumann, the theory of game. You start off the game, and nobody has any money, okay? But after 20 minutes, I have $1,000. What does that mean? Somebody else is in debt. Yeah, you know? So that's all there is. There's nothing here. Krishna is everything, right? The cause of everything. So if you turn away from Krishna, you turn away from everything. So you come to the material world, like you have nothing. So if you want to enjoy something, that means you have to have, you know, duality. You know, I mean, you know, a big glass of cold water, right? It's very nice after you've been in the desert walking for, you know, for 5 or 6 hours, you know, like that. But if you've been drowning in Arctic waters for, you know, for 30 minutes, it says, like a big glass of cold water, you know. Say, you nuts, you know. Yeah. So it's all relative pleasure. So, Arjuna wants to take all the crowns of these rascals and dump them at Draupadi's feet, and she'll say, oh, thank you, Arjuna, and tie her hair up, you know. Yeah. But why? Because other people are opening their hair, because lamenting, because their husbands are dead. So now it feels good, right? You know, yeah. So Arjuna realizes that, you know, if I do this, act like a karmi, not a vikarmi, then Drona's going to die, Bhishma's going to die, and these are, you know, not you know, bad people, really. And all of my cousins, God, they're, you know, still my cousins, and my nephews. How can I kill my nephews? You know? So at that point he says, okay, just forget all this karma. So then he becomes a jnani. He understands this thing. He wants to just renounce everything, renounce all karma. But he also realizes this is not a stable situation also, you know. Because he has to do something, you know. Again, he's like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's like, you know, 6'2", and Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he used to be younger, when he would like lifting weights and stuff, his biceps were like 32 inches, right? How big is your waist? You know, big. He's big, actually very big. If he came in now, you'd be impressed. He got kind of ducked to go through the door, you know. So that's what Arjuna's like, that. He's very clever, very astute. You know, look at somebody and, you know, figure him out like that. So he can't just sit down in the forest chanting japa, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You know, He's not a Brahmin. You know? So he has to do something, as Krishna is saying. You know, at least that's his level of consciousness. So then Krishna finally says, okay, you know, do your duty. Mayi sarvani karmani. Do your karma, your kshatriya karma for me. This is text 30 in chapter 3. First time he says it. Before he says this, do your duty without attachment. Well, that's okay, but it's kind of boring, you know. So finally he says, no, do it with attachment, you know, for me. Right? But do your duty, like that. So he's preaching basically karma yoga. You know? But he discusses everything. That's why Bhagavad Gita is so wonderful amongst all the Vedas, because he discusses varnashram dharma, tapasya, yoga, right? Everything. He discusses all these things in a very short space like that. So amongst all the different Upanishads and all the Vedas, is considered like very wonderful. He presents everything. So in chapter 6, he's talking about yoga, astanga yoga, asana, pranayama, dharana, samadhi, pachahara, yama, niyama, and Patanjali's system, basically, like that. And he says, finally, what's the last verse? Last verse of chapter 6, what does he say? Yeah, it's very simple. Yoginam api sarvesham, amongst all the yogis. It's very simple. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatenantaratmanam, making me the goal. Shradavan bhajate yo mam. Shraddha, you know, bhaja. Right? You know, he should worship me with faith. You know, he's the best. So chapter 7 then, he says, now, right? It's following, you know. O son of Pritha, here, how by practicing yoga, which he's describing, in full consciousness of me, yeah, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So, Bhakti Prabhupada calls it Bhagavad Gita as it is. You know, he's explaining it the way Arjuna understood it, the way Krishna explains it. So we can do yoga, but the yoga has to have some content. Well, I meditate on a flame. Well, okay, it's kind of nice. Like that. But he's saying, no, meditate on me. Okay? I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and noumenal, numinous. The phenomena is what you see. The noumena is what's behind everything. So his house is a phenomenon, right? But behind it, what is it? What's a noumena? What's a numinous? A noumena for this house? Carpenters, architects, plumbers, you know? That's the noumena. So he says, now I'll tell you everything about what you see and what's behind all that. Everything. Different places, different Buddha said, I'm not telling you everything. Right? Jesus Christ said the same thing. There are many more things I want to tell you, but you don't want to hear them. But Krishna says here, I will tell you everything. This being known, nothing else remains to be known. Okay. And he's talking about this knowledge he's going to give him. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Right? So many people in South America, even India, think perfection is to come to the United States. Ah, perfect. You know? But just because you come to the United States doesn't mean you know George Bush. Your relatives may ask you, how's George? Did you meet him yet? Meet George Bush? They say, well, no. Yeah. So many thousands of people who try to go to the spiritual platform, you know, Amrita, you know, immortal platform, very rare who one person actually then achieves the idea of Bhagavan. Right? Some people, yes, they become liberated. They realize that death is the problem in this place. Albert Camus, he got a Nobel Prize for literature. And many of his books were on that same theme. What's it all worth if we're going to die? That was his theme, right? You know, this, that. So people were realizing, yeah, it's a fact. You know, what's it all worth if we're going to die? Was it Gary Larson, famous cartoonist? He has one blender, and his fish are in the blender like that, in the water, and one fish has been there for some time. And the other guy is, and they just put in there, he says, yeah, this is a nice place, but the tension, you know, tension kind of gets to you after a while. I'm just going to push the button like that. Yeah, make a mistake. You know? You know? But that's the material world, right? You know, is there anybody here, any lady here who's, you know, secure that her husband's going to come home tomorrow night? Yeah. Any man, sure. One devotee, what's his name? He was president in our temple in Australia, in New Zealand. His name now. But anyway, he and his wife were devotees for many years. And they were in Mayapur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace, the big festival there. And next day they were supposed to go back to Calcutta and fly back to New Zealand. Like that. So they had a typical husband and wife argument, and he wanted to stay longer, and she said, no, the kids have to get back and start school. And he said, well, if you come back a week later, it won't kill them. So, no. So this is like typical, you know, fighting over some details like that. So next day they got in the car, and she got in the car with Tamal Krishnamurti, some of the devotees. She was in the seat behind him, and he was in the car behind that. They're going to Mayapur, and the driver fell asleep or something, went off the road, hit a tree, and Tamal Krishnamurti was killed immediately. And she had the, you know, brain ding thing, and they said she'll be dead within, you know, 10 minutes like that. And she was. And they said it was just, that was it. My wife's dead. I wasn't expecting it at all, nothing at all, but she was dead. You know, it was standing there like, you know, trying to comprehend what had happened. You know, it's a big part of his whole life and memory had just, whoop, finished. Like that, right? So this is achieve perfection, right? To go to Amrita, right? So you realize these, and then finally, more than that, higher than that, is to realize personal relationship with Krishna. Then we have eternal personal relationship with everybody, right? And my relationship with this person who was acting as my wife. In South America, when they have a Shraddha ceremony, an anniversary for the death of somebody, they say everybody's invited to the death of, you know, Maria and Jose Mendez. Everybody's invited to the death of my father and mother, who in this life were known as Jose and Maria Mendez. So same comprehension. That's still our name in this life, you know. But after some times you're perfect, you realize these eternal relationships, right? You know, out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Now he says, Bumirapo nalo vayu, earth, water, fire, air, space, mind, intelligence, and false ego. All these together constitute my 8 separated energies. So Krishna's saying basically, everything you can smell, taste, see, feel, hear, think, know, or be are my energies. Like that. So, is there anything else? All right, everything you can smell, taste, feel, see, hear, think, or know, or be are my energies. Is there anything else? You said he's going to tell us everything. Anything else? Huh?
The next verse he goes to explain that there's another
element. Yeah, okay. But that's all the material world. I mean, there's no scientist on earth who can know anything other than through the 5 senses. That's their object. So he's included all those. And then you're thinking about these things, you know, and then you know them. That's it. Yeah. Okay. Apareyam. Yeah. Anyam. Yes, superior. Doesn't have superior or someone. Okay. Besides these, O mighty armed Arjuna, there's another superior energy of mine, which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of material nature. So it's different, you know. Sometimes Jewish people, different sects of Jews, different sects of Christians, different philosophies, Buddhists, Hindus. So some Jewish people will tell you, oh, don't pierce your ears like that, right? Don't pierce your nose. Because when you die, if you're fortunate enough to go to heaven, you'll have those holes in your ears forever. Like that. That's their idea. Is that the body becomes raised up and goes to heaven like that. You know? But here, and actually they don't, wow, it's interesting. They don't, in the Christian tradition in general, the Catholic Church and stuff, there's the idea the soul is, you know, really much identifying the soul with the body like that. Not a clear distinction. And Prabhupada would always argue about this point first. Before you talk about anything else, let's get this idea of the soul clear. And Krishna's talking about that again and again too. How to distinguish the soul from matter. There's these 5 elements, right? You know, and different than that is the soul, the Atma. And what is the Atma's position? It has motivation, right? What is the motive of the Atma in material life? What is it trying to do? Yeah? Exploit the material, the inferior nature. You know, every man is thinking, right? I'll conquer the world. I'll become richer than Bill Gates, more powerful than Arnold Schwarzenegger, or what's his name, more handsome than Arnold Schwarzenegger, more powerful than what's his name, the president, George Bush. Yeah. And, says, and every woman in material consciousness is thinking, that's okay. Let him conquer the world. I'll conquer him. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, children seem to think the same thing, right? Mommy and daddy must obey me, or else I will cause a you know, tantrum in the middle of the you know, the program like that. Yeah, every dog, you know, I'm the strongest dog in the street, right, like that. So this is our idea to exploit the material nature. It's very rude. Huh? All created beings, now he's probably talking about bodies, have their source in these two natures. Of all that is material and spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and dissolution. Now he's described three things: material nature, five gross objects, three subtle objects, the Atma, and himself as being superior. O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. To who? To Bhagavan, to me. Yeah. For everything rests upon me as pearls are strung upon a thread. Yeah. It's like you take somebody's sweater, and you start pulling the thread. The thread is sticking out there. You start pulling it, and it comes out more and more. And that's why your sleeve disappears, like that. And you realize that here's my sweater, right? Right? Yeah. So this is, Krishna says this in the basic verses. I enter into the cosmic manifestation, and I don't enter in. Does a thread become a sweater? Or does it remain a thread? Does it still remain a thread, or does it become a sweater? Huh? Yeah, but it also, isn't it also still remaining a thread? Yeah? Still thread. Yeah, like that. So this example he gives. This for example, like there's the, you know, there's the space inside the glass. Okay. But is it different than the space outside the glass? Once the container is gone, it's the same space. You know, like that. So there's a point he's making. Everything's just like pearls are strung upon a thread. Everything depends upon me. O son of Kunti, I am. Now he's going to go into pantheism. Right? How you can actually realize this in your actual practical world. Many, many verses like that. He's given this general description now, specific details. Rasuham apsakuntaya. I am the taste in water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether, the ability in man, the fragrance of the earth, heat in fire, the life of all that lives, the penance of all aesthetics. Yeah. I am the original seed of all existences, the intelligence of the intelligent, and the prowess of all powerful men. I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. Yeah. Know that all states of being, be they goodness, passion, and ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am in one sense everything, but I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature, for they, on the contrary, are within me. So again, the sweater, does the sweater become a sleeve? No, the thread is the thread. I'm sorry, the thread. The thread is still independent. Rather, the sleeve depends upon the thread. If the thread dissolves somehow or other, you know, the yarn, there's no sleeve, right? Well, now the thread has been forced to become a sleeve. Well, it's still a thread, right? If it breaks and loses its quality of being a thread, then the whole thing falls apart. You know? So he's giving this analytical knowledge of the material world like that to Arjuna. Yeah. And then before he describes the static condition, there's earth, water, fire, air, ether. But then the dynamic thing is the three modes, which then make these act in different ways like that. Yeah. And the three modes are external manifestation of the time. They're three modes that are time. That's all time is: creation, maintenance, destruction. And they're external manifestation of Paramatma. You know, Mahavishnu, source of everything, he expands himself, okay, as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And then Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, he enters into the Pradhan, the non-manifested form. There's no earth, water, fire, energy. Then, Hari Bol, is there prasadam tonight?
Yes, there is. Okay, I'll stay then. Okay, thank you. Well, thank you. Oh,
yeah. Ah, yeah. Yeah, this is Krishna's a magician. If you look inside, you see the Paramatma, like that. If you look outside, you see the time factor manipulating everything. So that's the dynamic behind the manipulation. Yeah. Know that all states of being in goodness, passion, and ignorance are manifested by my energy. I am in one sense everything, but I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature, for they are the contrary within me. Deluded by the three modes, the whole world does not know me, for I who am above the modes and inexhaustible. So in pure goodness, we're right here. We're in Buddhi. At that point, we can see Krishna in the mirror very clearly. And we can see ourselves. We can understand, oh, I have to turn around. You know, like that. But then we start to have our selfish desires. We're not satisfied with things the way they are. So the mirror starts to become distorted and with passion. And finally, in ignorance, is totally the reverse of what's going on. Then I become God and Krishna becomes my servant. Like that, right? Yeah? And so, if you get in, you know, by the modes of nature, we become deluded. Even the mode of material goodness is still contaminated by passion and ignorance. There's nothing wrong with goodness. What's wrong with goodness? Well, it isn't, because material goodness means it's still, you're keeping some, you know, some, what do you call it, attachment. You know? If you're in the mode of goodness, that the present moment is the mode of goodness, but, oh, it came from some source, right? And it's gonna go to this direction. That's not pure goodness, right? Where there's creation and annihilation. So Shuddhasattva, you come to this point of just absolutely free, you know, from any attachment, you know, to past and future. And at that point, it's very subtle. The only thing is the ahankara, which you can see Krishna face to face. You know, out of many thousands of men, one knows me. You know? But in truth, is to understand him with relationship, rasa. So at that point, you can see Krishna, but you don't see Lakshmi. You don't appreciate, you know, the service to Krishna. There's no rasa, but it's chat and chit. I mean, I'm free from the modes of, you know, creation and destruction. I can know Krishna. Durvasamuni went right to Vaikuntha and saw Narayan, like that. But he couldn't appreciate Lakshmi. There's no ananda, there's no rasa at that point. You know? But you can progress from that point, or else you can fall back too. Yeah. It's okay? Krishna's very intelligent here. Okay. Deluded by the three modes of nature, the whole world does not know me, whom above the modes and inexhaustible. Daiviyesha gunamayi mama maya durattaya mameva me papadyante. Okay. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of nature, yeah, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So again, he's not talking about this deluding energy, why people don't see him. Like that, become absorbed. Yeah. What is that? Yeah. This divine energy consisting of the three modes, you know. So I have a substance, right? Is it water, or is it ice, or is it vapor? Those are the categories. Yeah, yeah. What is the substance? I don't know. Or it's water. Well, that's just one category, you know. So the substance is pradhan, but when it becomes manifest in all these forms, agitated, it becomes manifested in desire, lamentation, you know, superiority, like that. Namam duskritano, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now he's describing details. You know. Those miscreants who are, he has four kinds of miscreants here, grossly foolish, lowest amongst mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. That was a long purport. You know. Narada Maya was the first one. Naradama, Duskritino, Mudha, yeah, fools. But Naradama means uncivilized human beings. Yeah. And you find those in the world, people just really almost not even human beings like that. Very low intelligence, very brutal system of life. May not even have houses. You know, travel together in groups and do work and, you know, harvesting from the forest. O best amongst the Bharata, four kinds of pious men begin to render service to me. The distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, you know, and he who is researching for knowledge of the Absolute. Some people like to study God because it's the most interesting thing. It's the most fun, reading books about philosophy. Any enemies here. Someone told me Unitarians? Yeah, there's a joke. That a Unitarian is somebody who's looking for God and hopes he doesn't find him. Right? This is this inquisitive category like that. It's very interesting. The most interesting thing is God. You know? Oh, what's that? What's this? You know? But then some people are really sincerely looking, you know, for Krishna, and therefore they begin to take the devotional service. O best amongst the Bharatas, yeah. Of those, the one who is in full knowledge and is always engaged in pure devotional service is best, for I am dear to him and he is dear to me. So his knowledge is taken to this point where he wants to serve God and surrender to him. And this is the best one out of all these. All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous, but he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in transcendental service, he is sure to attain me. the highest and most perfected goal. So once we understand this philosophy, then we serve God. And if you come to that platform, then he says, you're going. You're going to make it back home once you understand these things. This is jnana yoga. Once you accomplish this, we're like, basically. Prabhupada says, basically, once your intelligence is purified, you're out of the material world. Some little things to adjust in terms of tastefulness and things like that. You know? Bahunam jamanam mamte. After many, many births, he who is in knowledge surrenders unto me. Surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes. Yeah? Knowing me to be the cause of all causes. What? Knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. That's a great soul is very rare. Yeah. Now, again, he's going back and forth. Other people don't surrender. Kamais tais ter hutak yana. Those whose intelligence had been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods, anya devataha, and they follow the particular rules and regulations of worshipping according to their own natures. Yo-yo yam-yam tanum bhakta shrad ayarchitam ichati. I am the super soul in everyone's heart, and as soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I make his face steady, so he can devote himself to that particular deity. Endowed with such faith, he endeavors to worship a particular demigod and obtains his desires. But in actuality, his benefits are bestowed by me alone. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, but my devotees reach my supreme planet. Unintelligent men. So this is a very distinct section, because in the Vedas there's description of worship of Indra, worship of Varuna, worship of, who else we got? Surya, Chandra, of the Asuras, you can worship them. Bhagavatam gives a whole list of these. You can worship Uma, you can worship Shankara, right? But in the Oxford Book of Etymologies, the origin of words, it says the word God comes from the German word Guten. Yeah. And it says the German word Guten comes from the Sanskrit word Huten, which in modern Hindi is Haven. Haven. So, and what does Huten mean? Huten means he who must be worshipped. So when you're arranging for your sacrifice, you have your priest, you're giving him good dakshin, you know. He says, well, who do you want to worship? Well, I want to get a good wife. Okay, Uma. I want good education, Saraswati. And I want good health. Hey, you're pushing it now. Come on. Okay, all right. We'll put Surya there too, with a little more dakshin, and you got to, you know, it's kind of complicated, and you got to bring a lot of, you know, different things. But anyway, what's that? Oh, that's the Shalagram Shila. Oh, you're a Brahmin, you worship. Yeah. Without him, it has no effect. So the Shalagram Shila is the Huten. You have your choice who you want to worship, different devatas, the Vedas are describing. But unless the Shalagram Shila is there, like that, the whole thing has no effect. Like that. So when someone says, oh my God, what they're saying is, oh my Shalagram Shila. Right? They don't know that, you know? Like, God damn it. Oh, Shalagram Shila, damn it. You know? Yeah. This is, you know, this is Oxford Book of Etymology. Someone told me that, actually. I'll probably look it up and confirm it, but a pretty reasonable person like that. You know? So, you know, he's describing this because it's a part of the Vedas. You know? I mean, how many modern Americans worship demigods? You know that? Around here? In Boise, Idaho, how much demigod worship is there? Not much. You know, nothing. You know, they don't worship. And they worship, basically, Jesus Christ came and said the same thing. God of gods, Lord of the worlds, like that. Because he also had many gods, and he was saying, God of gods. He accepted different angels in their tradition. And there's cherubim and seraphim. These are angels that exist outside of heaven. And he's describing different angels. You know? So we would say devatas, and they would say angels, like that. They're again, different functional angels. They would worship these. In the Catholic tradition, there are different functional angels for different things like that, you approach for things like that. So same conception. You know? The Bible's an anthology of old scriptures, the Old Testament, like that. And so, you know, where it comes from, I'm not sure, but they were just existing in that time. They put it together and rejected a lot of them and finally made the Bible. I suppose it was done in a town in North Africa called Biblios. So it's called the Biblios, the Bible. Like that. Yeah. The origin is kind of confusing. But also, too, it's recommended fire sacrifices, animal sacrifices, human sacrifices. They're all in the Bible. You know, And of course, that means they're in the tradition from the Islam too, because it's the same tradition. And then they were all stopped, and different angels were being worshipped, and different, you know, bogus statues of, you know, things. A short time after Christ had disappeared, and not too long, it was 700 AD. When did Muhammad appear? 700 AD? That late? Muhammad? No. I think it was that late. I think it was about 700. Anyway, he came, and then they were worshiping all kinds of gods. They would just make some, you know, some statue and this and that or something, and offer, you know, whiskey and cigars and maybe some, you know, some Buddha or Preta. He also discusses that too. If you worship the Buddhas, the Pretas, or the Pitris, you know, you get some result like that. You know? The Mormons, I've heard Prabhupada said that they're worshiping Lord Brahma, you know, generally speaking. But they have a whole thing, a whole, you know, you can, if you go, if you become a Mormon, then you want to go to heaven and have your dog and your cat and grandma and your aunts and uncles all with you, then you can do a sacrifice. It's a whole thing. They have big genealogical tables. They have the biggest genealogical research thing in the world. So you can find out who all your relatives were, and you can offer a sacrifice for them, mass, offering bread and wine, grape juice, you know, in honor of Jesus Christ. And they can accept it if they want to and become freed from their sins and all be together. This is an identical description of Pitri worship, like that. You know? Anyways, it's all adjusted like that. But they don't have to. It's optional. You're giving them this option now by offering them Pinda. Yeah? And, but it describes all these things, and finally it's describing, sometimes Mormons get criticized because they say you can become God like that, you know? But then if you ask a Mormon, like, can you become God? He'll say, yeah, like that. You know? But if you read the actual text, what it says, by sufficient pious activity, you can become as God and have your own universe. So who is this? Yeah, yeah, many things like that. But it also describes, for example, in the Bible, it even describes this creation of the beginning like that, the creation. It's talking about this creator of everything. And then, but it says, but then my Lord said to his Lord, like that. So this idea of Brahma is there, a demiurge. You know? And behind him, though, is somebody else. You know? So that way, Bhagavad Gita talks about this, Anya Devataha. Right? You need to distinguish these things. You know, distinguish these things. You know? And then, so now he's going to talk about something. Okay, it's okay. Sorry, Krishna's talking about Anya Devataha. Yeah? But I'm the source of all those. He says, if you want to do this, he says, okay, I give you the intelligence, I give you the strength to follow this person, if you want that, you know, like that. Yeah. Okay, yes, sir.
You're saying one who has knowledge most dear to me.
Yeah.
Go back. What about the bhakti of
devotion? No, he's beyond that. Of these four, he says, of these four kinds of people, someone's coming, came, oh God, I need this, I need that, please give me, oh thank you, see you later. he's coming to God, he's saying, you know, he probably said, this is good. You know, he could try and take shelter or something else, but he's coming to God. So he's a good person, you know. But if somebody else needs money, somebody else is just likes to hear about God, you know. But somebody else is really serious about understanding what's going on. I mean, there are Unitarians who are very serious about this. They reject dogmas because they don't believe in blind faith. If I'm going to worship God, it's because I understand him. And this is true, because it's true. It's true. Yeah? So he says that kind of person, of these four, that's the kind of person who he very respects, who's very honest. Bhaktivinoda Thakur one time says there's two things happening in your life. One is your karma, you know, which will certain things will happen, your wealth, your health, your things like that. I was reading a book on palmistry. It's a kind of dictionary. It's kind of looking at my hand. There's a little star right here. And looking that up in the Mount of so-and-so, it says, good chance of death through drowning. And I was remembering, I almost drowned my life. I was thinking back, I can think of three times where I mean, I was that close to being dead from drowning like that. You know, wow. You know, yeah. So you have your karma. But also, he says, you have your spiritual life going along independently like that. And he defines spiritual life as dedication to honesty. Krishna tells you something and you just don't like it, but you accept it. You know, you try and do something about it. So that's the fourth kind of person, right? You know, and if you acquire knowledge, then Pathmaster Gyan is Gyan, and Gyan is a kind of Gyan. You know, Gyan means understanding by logically, like that. And then Gyan means understanding by direct perception. Now I got everything prepared. I'm going to focus on Krishna. I don't want to, but I will. Yeah, he's God. And how do you know? I'm looking right at him. You know, like that. You know. Is it a 457 Magnum pointing at us? Yep, I'm looking right at it. It sounds like one. Like that, you know. But yep, you know. Yep, I don't want to hear, but they got a cannon pointed at us. I see it. I'm looking right down the barrel. You know. Okay. Yeah. Better surrender. We give up. Yeah. We're outgunned. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Wiseman said that the five types of people come to the temple, the fifth one is a devotee.
Well, yeah, then there's, I would say, in that kind of platform, yeah, above the Gyanis. Well, above the Gyanis, the Jnanis, but then in the Bhakta. Yeah. But again, they're, you know, mixed kind of Bhaktas. If you come to platform, this is kind of Kanista Adhikaris, as described. These are all Kanista Adhikaris. And then the Majjhima Adhikari means he comes to the platform of actually, he surrenders. You know, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, you know. Bahunam jamanamamte ganamam mam prapajante. So that's where he surrenders. Like that. Yeah? And makes a formal contract with Krishna. Yeah? And that's the beginning of real devotional service. Like that. Yeah? Yeah, yeah.
This afternoon you are reading the same verse, Chaturvidha Bhintamam.
Yeah.
For, we became very confused on Jigyasu.
Yeah.
And Jnani. So Jigyasu and Jnani is like Jigyasu who is inquisitive about Krishna.
Yeah.
And Jnani is who is in knowledge and searching for Krishna or searching for true knowledge. What is that? I mean.
Well, again, as far as I understand, we go back and can read probably the purport, you know. But he's saying basically the Jignasu, you know, he's trying to satisfy the mind's desires. Your mind loves to speculate, it loves to think about things, right? You got some good, you know, soap opera going in your mind about what's going to happen, right? Then I'm going to do that. Then, oh boy, she's going to be sorry then if she ever did that to me then, you know. You know, oh, that's going to happen to me then, and oh my God, yeah. But you're trying to stop your mind, you're chanting, you know, you're trying to stop your mind. Difficult, no? It's very gratifying, like that, you know? One Nobel laureate was talking about the almost inconceivable pleasures of the mind, like that. Yeah, it is imaginable. Because after that, then gross pleasure, you give it up, because it's just the pleasure you can derive in the mind is just like, you know, incredible, you know?
I was reflecting on his question here, like, for all the years that I would do lotus solutions, one of the things I learned is that, you know, you get people, you start them, and they got 100 questions for you, they're flipping through the Bible again. And after so many people doing that, you realize someone that does that is not really serious. He's just asking questions, he's enjoying the conversation.
Yeah.
He's a little inquisitive.
He's not
really interested in anything.
No, it's the greatest gratification. It's like, what's it, Shripanaka? She figured out that the greatest way to have sexual relations with God. No, right? You see, you know, if I'm going to have sense gratification with a man, well, let me have sense gratification with God. Wow, okay. So it's a very elevated thing. So somebody who comes to Krishna for his mental gratification, you can have all these books, but somebody else, he's got all these books about religious philosophy and stuff like that. Again, he's a very great soul. He's already beginning to surrender. Yeah. Like that. Okay? Yeah. The other person is a person who's actually come to the point of saying, you know, okay, well, what I find out, I'll actually apply, I'll actually do it. It's not just to enjoy these things like that. Yeah? Yeah. It's very scientific. You know, the Bhagavad Gita understanding is all describing people and, you know, how they're all related and what, you know, different levels of consciousness.
So the main difference is that inquisitive is just inquisitive, but doesn't want to go beyond that.
Yeah.
Questioning.
Yeah.
But in knowledge.
Yeah. The distress wants his distress mitigated. That's it. You know. The money wants money. That's it. Inquisitive wants to satisfy some curiosities. That's it.
But is it like when inquisitive comes, Krishna conscious, then slowly he becomes attached to it, like even though you have a material desire.
So what Prabhupada says in the purport is that, because of the exchange that Krishna satisfied my desires, Krishna did that, then after a while one becomes attached to the exchange and gives up his attachment to the content. You know, I wanted a briefcase. When I was treasurer of the temple in Berkeley, I wanted the perfect briefcase for doing my service, you know. And I looked everywhere this way and wasn't finding it, you know. And finally I found something that was almost what I wanted. And I really felt like Krishna was making me do all this to make, you know, to really see like it was like a gift from him, it was for my service. And it wasn't exactly what I wanted for my sense gratification, but then my mental gratification. But he was saying, okay, this is even better. So give up your gratification and focus on your service. So it goes on like that. I mean, so many times Krishna will do that. He'll reciprocate. And you take, you know, a little personal relationship. And after a while, you realize the real fun of this thing is actually reciprocating with Krishna. And it can be a flower, a fruit, a leaf, a water, anything like that. You know? That's better than the thing. Was it a famous American author, Norman Mailer? I don't know. He said, one story he's talking about, he said, my grandmother told us that in this life, the presents that we give and receive at Christmas, the gifts that we give and receive at Christmas, are symbols of love. But in the spiritual world, we give and receive love itself. Like that. So they're appreciating these things. You know, very heavy, you know. Yeah. It's a science. You find the same thing in Christian philosophy. You know, the Prabhupada saying here, it's like more clear, more detailed. You find it in all the different Puranas too. But here it's like, you know, Sattvic Purana. Sattvic, this is the, I say, the best of all the Upanishads is the Gita Upanishad. Let me finish off here. Come on, let's go for it. So, I have, like, not very many. Just put four more verses. Now he's going to go to somebody above the demigod, Devata worshippers. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was impersonal before and now assumed this personality due to their small knowledge. They don't know my higher nature, imperishable and supreme. So maybe some people go beyond the devatas and see behind all the devatas is a supreme absolute, the unchanging, eternal white light that has no form. And Krishna is also a manifestation of this. He's like a big devata also, powerful person, great thing, but he's also coming from this white light, the clear light. Right? Yeah. I am never manifested to the foolish and the unintelligent. Maybe he's including both here. For them, I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know me, who am unborn and infallible. O Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of God, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that has happened in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living beings, but no one knows me. O Sion, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by the dualities of desire and hate. There's three modes, right? Yeah. But persons who have acted piously in previous lives, whose simple actions are completely eradicated, and are free from the dualities, engage myself in devotional service with determination like that. I've gotten free from these simple reactions. Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation, from old age and death, take refuge in me, in devotional service. They are actually Brahman, because they know entirely everything about transcendental activities. Those in full consciousness of me, who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation, of the devatas, of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the moment of death. So he's finished everything. And now he's talking about Adibhuta, Adidaiva, Adiyagna, and Adhyatma. So the next chapter, then Krishna said, Arjuna says, well, tell me more about this, Adhyatma. So same thing again. He's just giving more detailed knowledge, you know. If somebody's showing you how to play a piano, you say, show me again, let me watch again like that, a little slower, like that. And if you're going to go from this chord to that chord, how do you make the hand movements? Because you can play the chords in different ways like that. You know, so you learn these things, how to do that, right? So again and again and again, you know. You see somebody playing Beethoven's Fifth Symphony one time. Oh, thank you, I know that now. No, you've got to see it again. You've got to take it into your heart. Right? Yeah. If you learn how to play the piano just by your senses, you... Yeah. But your master knows it by heart, and he's starting to do all these things. It's just like this depth. You know. So again and again. So, koi prashna hai? Hay preguntas? Any questions? Commentaries? How do you say comments? That part about? I say commentary in Hindi. Comment. Commentary is vyakta. Comment. Koi vyakta. Yeah? No? Okay. So you can take shelter of his mind here now, right? He's thinking. Yeah. From the core of your heart. What is your question from the core of your heart? What is your heartfelt desire?
And when you say
when is there prasadam now? You have to fast until noon tomorrow, yeah?
Whatever you feel, everything is me. Where does Krishna say that? You're saying Krishna says whatever you feel, whatever you think, whatever.
Oh, feeling, no, it's prana. Bhumir, apo, nalo, vayu.
Oh, the equivalent.
Vayu. Not any emotions, the touching, feeling. Yeah. Whatever you can smell, bhumir. Taste, bhumir, apo. Whatever you can see, analo. Whatever you can feel, vayu. Whatever you can hear, ether. Yeah, kam. Yeah. Whatever you can think, manas. Whatever you can know, buddhi. And whatever you can be, ahankara. And everything. Start about everything. You know? It's very scientific. Yeah.
Krishna doesn't talk too much about Shuddha Saptarishi in Gita, not that
language, but he's talking about, I think, coming to that stage of...
It's mentioned that there's something beyond that, and he only stops only at the three modes in Gita.
Well, he's talking about being above the modes.
Yeah, but he doesn't...
Mamhi parta viapashvitya yepi shu... No, I don't know. No. He engages in pure devotional service above the modes. Mom, one who engages in my pure devotional service, huh? Mam chayo abhicharena bhakti yogina sevate saguna samatichaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So he's describing that position.
Yeah,
he doesn't get the name to it. That doesn't call it Shuddha Sattva. I don't think so. But actually, Brahman is Shuddha Sattva, is pure goodness. You know, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, na sochati na kangshati, sambhav bhuteshu sarveshu, mad bhakti labhate param. That's kind of the same verse. Many times like that, he's describing this, the state of consciousness, you know, where one is. You know, and then he obtains, you know, the Shuddha Sattva state. Then he obtains devotional service like that. When it transcends the modes of material nature, he attains my nature. Yeah.
Well, what you were saying is one thing that we're doing in our devotee is that when it comes to the divisions of faith,
yeah.
He said, this is a goodness, this is a goodness. So here, there he does not give another category that, you know,
maybe does he say that though? I mean, one who then eats the three kinds of food, but then one who eats the remnants of sacrifice, he might talk about that directly or something. And one who knows all these things, sacrifice. I am the butter. I am the. And it's interesting. Can you just sharpening your intelligence like that to see how he talks about it? In the three modes of nature, he definitely talks about it. He says, but above these three modes, is my nature. And Socrates talked about the same thing. He talked about the reincarnation in different modes. He talks about it in the Theta. But he says, but you have to go beyond this, even the mode of goodness, and become accustomed to the philosophical principle. So then you can go to live forever with the gods. Yeah? Yeah. So same idea. Over there. Well, yeah,
like, there was a verse you read. It says that out of millions of people,
thousands. Yeah.
So like when you're like a fully purified, then you go back to the God, and that's the stage.
No, again, to explain that, he said, the thousands of people, one endeavors for the absolute truth. Mm-hmm. Most people don't endeavor for that. They endeavor for simply temporary, relative happiness. You know? But someone's looking for the absolute truth. It doesn't change in any circumstance. That's Brahman, like that. You know, he goes to Amrita. Out of those, people who have come to Brahman, they don't know Krishna as a person. Again, the example, you may be in the kingdom, but it doesn't mean you know the king. Yeah? But you're in the kingdom now. Yeah? You know, get all the benefits. So there are many thousands of people, one endeavors for to understand the absolute truth. Yeah? Brahman. But then out of those, only one actually understands the Bhagavan feature. Right? Yeah. So, but now he's going to explain this. Basically, up to the level of, you know, Paramatma. That's how you're describing, you know, mom. What is this me? Many Krishna says, you should surrender to that, under that supreme person who is the oldest, who knows everything, who is all pervasive. Why is he talking about the supreme person? Because, well, it is a little different than his personality. You know, you should surrender to the Paramatma. So again, Bhagavad Gita is up basically to the level of karma yoga. You know, Arjuna is acting out the role of somebody who's attached to his dharma. Be attached to street dharma, being a lady. Okay, just do that. Do it properly, but sacrifice the results to me. You raise your children up so when you're old, they'll take care of you. No, I raise my children up so they become devotees. So I sacrifice this to Krishna. But I still do the dharma of being a lady. You know? But beyond that, then, is, you know, he says, then somebody who doesn't have to do that, he can just appreciate Krishna directly. You know, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Yeah? Like that. But, you know, so Krishna Chakrabarti says, one time Arjuna is becoming irritated. He says, well, you know, he's kind of looking at Krishna and, well, you told Vyasadeva this, he could just go chant Hare Krishna, but you're telling me I have to go fight this battle. You know, why? And Krishna's understanding what he says, and therefore he says things, which mean, yeah, because I said that because you're not on the same platform as Vyasadeva. You're still attached to your karma. You're not attached to the results, but you're attached to the mode of working. It's easier to sacrifice the result than it is the mode of working, because we're active. We've got to do something, otherwise we feel the most horrible distress. Right? We can't do something. Okay, so you're attached to your material mode of working. Okay. By using that for Krishna, then that becomes purified, you know, and then you can do anything for Krishna. Right? Yeah? Yeah, but it takes, you know, higher knowledge about our relationship and stuff. Yeah? When I first became a devotee in a temple in San Francisco, they made me the treasurer, like that. So in college, you have personality inventories, your nature. And one of the lowest scores I got was banker. It was like almost a zero or something, you know. And so here I was, the first thing they did was maybe the banker, you know, like that. Really feeling like, think about it, this is like Krishna's arrangement, you know. So I remember one Sunday feast, I was up in the second story of the temple in San Francisco on Valencia Street, and there were like these bags of money in front of me there, you know. And I had to pour them into this machine. It would sort them into different categories, you know, for the take of the bank. And I had just no motivation to do it. I was just looking at them, sitting on the floor, looking at these bags of money, you know, just, you know, looking, trying to find like how I could do this, how I could go on with this. And meanwhile, the Sunday feast started, the kirtan was going on, the lecture was going on, other kirtan, prasadam distribution, the whole thing was passing down below me, you know. So finally, I really researched, like, well, why should I do this? And gyan. And I came to the conclusion, yes, God wants me to do this, you know. And Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita, temple president, okay, you know. So finally, I just did it, you know. But it was pure devotion. There was no, you know, enjoying my particular, you know, nature, right, in Krishna consciousness. And I feel, well, Krishna did this. He gave me a task where I could actually express my devotion. In the beginning, our devotion is intellectual. It's dry. There is no, you know, sentiment. It's just we do it because we know, right? That's the fourth kind of person. He knows he should do this. He does it. And Krishna accepts that as a very big thing. You know? And then because of that, he starts to give you little, you know, reciprocation with his nature like that. Understand who he is, right? As a transcendental person. Yeah. So, different levels. Yeah. Yeah. No, in the Nectar of Devotion, there's Rupa Goswami, they have different offenses. So one of the offenses is to take more service than you can do. It's offensive. Why are you doing it? With some prestige, honor, like this and that. So we find out what we can do and we do it. Yeah, like that. Yeah. So yeah, sometimes you see. I mean, somebody may see that they're really attached to politics and stuff. And they know it's dangerous. You know, this is my nature, so I got to be careful about this. I should try and do it for Krishna because I can do it. I have the motivation; it's easy for me to do it. At the same time, too, I got to be careful. It doesn't fall from being bhakti yoga to karma yoga. Yeah? You know, and somebody else is not even on the level of karma yoga. He's a vikarma. He's a karmi, and in a karma yogi, he wants to enjoy the results. And the way, look, God, you said if I did this, I could enjoy like this. And Krishna says, okay, I said that, so okay, you know. And lower than the karmi is? The vikarmi. You know, you say, I don't care about God, I'll just do what I want to, I have the power. You know, yeah. So everybody's on a different platform. That's why Bhagavad Gita is for Arjuna. He's showing us the example of karma yoga. And it's okay. I mean, people on that level, you know. And then the other person is on a gyan platform where he can understand things and can act, you know, independent of his karma. He's learned how to be connected to Krishna and get the motivation to go on, you know, without, you know, sensuous, you know, enjoyment, you know, or even, you know. You know. And somebody else is actually, you know, seeing Krishna smiling, and he's doing this impossible task, but he keeps looking up, and Krishna's smiling and nodding, and he goes on like that. He's, how can you do this? You know, because he's getting, you know, motivation from the soul, from the soul. Okay, it's a mudra. That's your daughter. Yeah, responsible. So. Or Prashna hai. I learned Hindi here. Right? Yeah. Any more questions? Más preguntos? More questions? No? Okay. Let's just chant a little more kirtan here, and then we can honor prasadam. One last thing. Tomorrow's Bhakti Vinod Thakur's appearance. Disappearance day? Appearance. Yeah, I'm sorry to tell which is which. Disappearance? Disappearance. I know, it's the same thing. Coming, going is the same, you know, in some ways. So he was, of course, in our parampara, he's, you know, father of Bhakti Siddhanta and spiritual master of Gaurakishore Babaji. And tomorrow we'll talk more about him, but we're going to be fasting until noon. What does that mean? It means feasting on Krishna Katha, is the idea. You're so busy hearing about Krishna, talking about him, reading his pastimes. Bhaktivinoda Thakura has so many songs, nice songs. So you can spend all your time all morning singing all these songs and thinking about these meanings. Absorb in his ideas like that, and then you won't need anything else. Give me those kartals there. Okay. Take the drum. Can you play it? Come on, give it a try. Over here. Here. One beat? No, you can't do it at all? Okay. There's one beat there. Well, let you chant. You lead. Make a fool of yourself. Make a fool of yourself. Abraham Lincoln said, if you remain silent, people will think you're a fool, Abraham Lincoln said. He said, but if you talk, you move all doubt. So.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama
Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama
Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare. Agora Haribo, Haribo,
Haribo, Haribo.
Sua Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.